1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to explain your word by your spirit. We thank you for calmness. Thank you for order. We thank you for the free flow of revelation and insight and wisdom. We thank you for tranquility of the soul that receives your word from the spirit of man born again. We thank you for much more knowledge, not head, not heart, but knowledge of the holy, sanctified and precious only unto you. All this we receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we have been looking at the things of the Spirit. Because of our time, I would put some acceleration, so just try and flow with me. Concerning the things of the Spirit, which is 1 Corinthians 12:1, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the things of the Spirit, if you look at the discussion of Paul, from verse 4, it says there are diverse of gifts for the same Spirit, differences of administration, the word ministry for the same Lord. Then verse 6 says differences of art, diverses of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for all. Now, that it discusses elements, right? Then in verse 5, it discusses people, it says ministries. And if you go further to verse 27, 28, 29, 31, it discusses people. It says that God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, healings, helps, governments, diverses of tongues, are all apostles. So it discusses people. So in the things of the Spirit, you will discuss things as touching, you know, gifts of the Spirit, but also there's a discussion of people, persons, activities also are discussed. If any prophesy, let it be by two and most by three. So that's an activity. So it teaches that. Also, it teaches about meetings. Many times when we talk about the things of the Spirit, we do not discuss the meeting. Because we need to know that these things happen in gatherings. The things of the Spirit do not happen in isolation. They happen in fellowship, in gatherings, in places. And so the place where the things happen is a thing of the Spirit in itself. The event of the things of the Spirit is a thing of the Spirit itself. It in itself is something we have to learn. Praise the Lord. The meeting itself is a thing of the Spirit that deserves attention. Amen. The meeting itself, where those things happen, is something that ought to be studied. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it's a realm we can function in. It's a realm. A realm has been opened to us. A realm, a sphere of operation. We can learn from it, and we can understand. So there's something about learning the manifestation of the Spirit as an entity. The manifestation of the Spirit as an entity can be learned. I tell people that the things of the Spirit can be taught, they can be learned, they can be impacted, and they can be imparted. They can be taught, they can be learned, they can be impacted, and they can be imparted. They can be ministered. You can teach it. You can explain it. You can understand it. And it can be imparted. And that's what knowledge does. Knowledge makes it available to you. So today we're going to look at, you know, Holy Ghost meetings and believers meetings. And the reason why I'm going to teach this is because I sense that for next week, for weeks now, after that, we're just going to have strictly meetings of that nature on Wednesdays. So I just don't want it to be what I will conduct. I want you to know how it is conducted. And I want you to be able to, in your different areas of ministry, be able to bring this blessedness to the minds of others. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? to bring this blessedness to people. You know, the end point of knowledge is to the intent that you can teach others. Ephesians 4:11, they gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, we all come to the unity of the faith, to the full knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness that is in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and slight cunningness and craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may all grow up into all things in Christ, in Him, who is the head of the body, to the end that all the joints are fully compacted, and every joint supplied to the increase, and the body grows in knowledge to the increase of itself. So that means everybody in the church is able to give something by the virtue of being ministered to. So you must be able to bring this blessing. You see, if I do this meeting, for instance, I'm the one conducting it, because maybe by reason of time and reason of insight into the Word of God, I'm able to pass this across to you. Now, the intent of the body of Christ, the intent of the church, is that you also, in some other place, are able to do what I am doing to minister to others as well. Are you following what I'm saying here? Only Jesus Christ stands at the head, shoulder above every one of us. We are all ministers of the grace bestowed on the church. Now, listen to this. So, the meetings themselves are things that must be studied. So, I say, because of this lack of understanding, we have people, you know, people have asked us, for instance, in the church community, that, you know, there are things we do not do. And I tell them, well, the reason why we don't do them is because we don't have a scriptural prototype. You know, I, for instance, don't have prototype for some things that are being done. I'm a very slow learner, amen? I learn very slowly, so maybe my learning is very slow. But when I get to know them, I'll do them with the whole of my heart. But you see, there are meetings we do, for instance, in the year that are typical. We have examples. And so we follow those examples, you know, in the Word. Because at the end of life, you have to account to God where you saw what you were doing. Hallelujah. You'll have to account to God who told you to do what you were doing. And like I taught you one time, you know, it doesn't mean that people will not be blessed. But when you begin to do things and you are not blessed and others are blessed, you become a signboard, they're walking in disobedience. So we look at the Word of God and we look at what kind of meetings do we have. See, the Scriptures present to us teaching, just like we're doing, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Scriptures also present to us evidence. That is, what I'm doing has evidence in Scripture. That's the word reproof. Now, we have different kinds of meetings. First and foremost, Jesus says, where two or three, Matthew 18:20, are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So it gives us a precondition for his presence in the midst of people, where they are gathered together in my name. Now you must ask sometimes, some people say, who authorized this place? Who authorized this meeting? That is, under whose authority is this being done? So whenever we gather, now we as Christians can gather anywhere, but it's what we do that lets us know whether it's authorized in His name. If we gather together and discuss politics, it is not the church. If we gather together and discuss soccer, it's not the church. But when we gather together to do the things authorized by Jesus, then He is in our midst. So that means there's the place of Christian meetings. Hebrews 10:25 says that do not forsake the assembling together of one another, as the manner of some is, you know, He says, but we should, as much as we see the day approaching, we should provoke ourselves unto good works and so on and so forth from verse 24. So, that means we should not neglect assemblies of Christians. And, I taught in this local church, that all the letters written in the Bible, the letters, the epistles of the apostles, were written to churches or individuals in churches. So, the church is the place of revelation. The church is a place of authority, is a place, you know, you cannot dwell in isolation, you must dwell with and in the church. Now, having said that, so what is the church? Now, there's a church, the body of Christ, where we ask the church, you're born into the body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, you are baptized into one body, and then you are baptized into one body, and you are made to drink of one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And then the Bible says that you are the household of faith, Galatians 6 and 10. Ephesians 2, 18, it says, by Jesus Christ, we all have access unto God by one Spirit, unto the Father. Verse 19, it says, henceforth you are no more strangers, you know, nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now that is the body of Christ as a family. Now there is the church as a gathering. When we come together as the church as a gathering. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the church of the living God, the house of God, the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. Now, that is not the body of Christ as a family. That is the family meetings, the church as a gathering. So there are church, there's a church gathering. And you see, church gatherings, which is, you know, one of, which is this, has purpose. There must be a purpose. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:17, it says, when you come together, you know, it says, you ought to be better. That you ought to be better. That is, when we, you know, come together like that, it says, it ought to be for the better and not for the worse. When you come together. So, there's a purpose for church meetings. It's for us to improve, to get better, you know, spiritually. So, we'll just look at this. What differentiates Christian meetings? Are Christian meetings the same? You know, what we do oftentimes is just organize programs and you say, you should ask people, what kind of meeting are you looking out for? What kind of a Christian, just a concert? Give me scripture and verse for that. Now, is it wrong to have a concert? Nope. Don't quote me wrongly. You know, people always have a yes and no aspect approach to things. But you see, what is the model in the Bible that you're following in holding that particular program or that particular meeting? It's a women's convention. Okay, I get that. But what model is he going to follow? No, just a women's convention. There must be a model in the scripture that you want to follow. You can call it a women's convention, a believer's convention, a camp meeting. But at the back of those who are putting it together, there must be a meeting in the scriptures that you want to follow after. Now, if you look at the Bible, we have different types and kinds of meetings. You know, fundamentally, Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not is damned. And you see, obviously, that shows that when we go to the world, we go to meet them. So that is a kind of Christian meeting on its own. We are going to meet the world. And when we are going to meet the world, Jesus is with us. We are gathered in his name. Because we are going to meet the world. Now, in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given to me. Go ye therefore, you know, and make disciples of all, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, making disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe the things that I've commanded you, and with you to the end of age. Matthew 28:18-20. So, obviously, again, we're going to make disciples of all nations. We're going to. That is a meeting, one. And so, that's the first meeting that we see prominent in the scriptures. It's called an evangelistic meeting, you know, where we go to reach out to the lost. It's an evangelistic meeting. The prominent thing in an evangelistic meeting is the message of salvation. That is the prominent thing. We give it prominence in an evangelistic meeting. Acts 2 is an example of that. Let's look at it. We have to open very fast now. Acts 2, Peter lifting up his voice, verse 16, with the 11, you know about that, they just gathered together, the unbelieving people. How do we know they were unbelieving? They were wondering what was happening. So that means they did not believe. Peter, verse 14, lifting up his voice with 11, said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken unto my words. So he begins to talk to them, and then, you know, he spoke for a while from verse 17, quoted from Joel, quoted from Psalms, you know, quoted. Then it got to a point in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know so surely that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they had heard this, hallelujah, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the emphasis there, look at the result. Verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. So the prominence in an evangelistic meeting is that the Spirit of God, you know, pricks the heart of people to receive the message of salvation. We see another example in Acts 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ unto them. Preach Christ. And people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, and seen the miracles which he did. And the Bible says, you know, in verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. So that's the word of God. People were saved. A lot of people were saved. Verse 12, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and were and name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So a lot of people, you know, accepted the gospel. Acts 13, Paul, you know, in the synagogue, the Bible says that, you know, one of the rulers said, in verse 15, ye men and brethren, you know, the ruler of the synagogue said, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So Paul stood up in verse 16, Acts 13, and began to preach, and he preached and preached and preached, you know, quoted from all the scriptures. And when it was done, of course, some people believed, some did not believe, you know, some argued, some did not argue, you know, but at the end of the day, in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious preachers followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking unto them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. So that is a typical evangelistic meeting. You take the word of God to people. So the meeting is initiated by you. You take the word to people, the word of salvation. Now, coming closely after that is the teaching meeting, where the emphasis is to teach. All you do there is to teach. Now Jesus, you know, did that. Luke 5:17. Jesus began to teach the power of God's presence to heal. Matthew 9:35-36, went from city to city to preaching and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Luke 24:25-27, that was a teaching meeting. But when you come to the Acts of the Apostles, the typical one is Acts 20. Teaching meetings are like the typical Bible study classes that people have today. And the Bible says in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break the bread. Now, when you hear the word disciple, in the Acts of the Apostles, it implies somebody who is learning the word. Disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them. Okay? Paul preached unto them. Spoke unto them, actually. Ready to depart them. And he continued his speech, his message, until midnight. He taught for a long time. In verse 11, after he had brought up Eutychus from the dead, the Bible says, therefore, came again. He taught a long while till the break of day. So he departed. That's a teaching meeting. Look at Acts 2, verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. In verse 42, you know, people kept learning, you know, every day. You know, in verse 42, chapter 5, and daily in the temple, the Bible says in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In Acts 20:20, Paul says, I taught you publicly and from house to house. Teaching meetings hold among believers, primarily. Unbelievers can also come in, but it's to teach and disciple believers. Now, I mentioned this also. We have healing meetings. Healing meetings oftentimes are interwoven with evangelistic meetings. Healing meetings oftentimes are interwoven with evangelistic meetings. Jesus was teaching the prayer of power. God was praying to heal. Luke 5:17. Matthew 9:35-36. He taught and preached and healing all manner of sickness and diseases. Healing meetings could be evangelistic. I mean, they may not be. In Acts 5. So, healing meetings are always complementary to either an evangelistic meeting or a teaching meeting. In Acts 5. Read from verse 12. Signs and wonders were done. And the shadow of Peter, you know, just passed by people. In verse 14 to verse 16. And those that were sick were healed. Acts 8:5, verse 6. Philip preached, and there were signs and wonders and miracles that he did. Unclean spirits came out of people. Those that were taken up with palsies and the lame were healed. Verse 12, you know, the Bible says that in verse 12 and verse 13, that people behold the miracles and the signs which were done by Philip. So that happens in an evangelistic meeting. Also, in a teaching meeting in Acts 14. Verse 6. You know, Paul went to a particular place, preached the gospel, verse 7. An evangelistic meeting, and there said a lame man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, beholding a being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked, saying, you know, the Bible says, Paul looked at him steadfastly and said, he had prayed to be healed. And he said, stand up on your feet, and he leaped and he walked. That's a typical, you know, he went to preach the gospel, and the sick were there, and they got healed. But look at Acts 9. Verse 32, it came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. To the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick with the palsy. I said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So that became a sign and wonder, you know, for several other people. So we have that. We also have prayer meetings where we come to pray. Acts 2. That's Acts 2. Acts 4, verse 23. I just mentioned that very fast. Acts 4, 23. I mean, let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them, and when they had that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord, and they said, Lord God, so they prayed. How do you know they prayed? Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken together. So they prayed. That was a prayer meeting. Acts 12:5. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So they prayed, the church prayed. That's a prayer meeting. Now, a prayer meeting oftentimes will lead to a worship meeting, just like Acts 2. They will eventually just worship God and bless God, just like the 1 Corinthians 14 narrative. So, I'll go over that. We have evangelistic meetings, teaching meetings, healing meetings, which complement either evangelistic or teaching meetings. And we have prayer meetings, and that also are the complement of worship meetings. You know, now, in all those meetings, the audience dictate the emphasis. The audience dictate the emphasis. It's not as though we wait on God to know what kind of meeting we are going to have. Mm-mm. When I go to unbelievers, it must be an evangelistic meeting. When I'm with believers and they need to hear the word of God, it's a teaching meeting. And when we need a request to take to God, that's a prayer meeting. And in the teaching and evangelistic meeting, we can have the complement of a healing meeting, that is, the gifts of the Spirit to heal the sick are given prominence as well in either of those meetings. Hallelujah.
So the audience dictate, you know, the kind of meetings that it evolves to. Now, the one we're going to talk about today is the Holy Ghost stroke believers meetings. The Holy Ghost stroke believers meetings. Now, that phrase, you know, looks a bit funny because you wonder, what the other meetings, don't they have the Holy Ghost? They do. But you see, in the Holy Ghost stroke believers meetings, because of the audience that it presupposes, and because of what is intended to achieve, it's like a meeting that strictly relies on the leading of the Spirit. You know, that strictly relies on the leading of the Spirit. In these meetings, the knowledge of the participant on the things of the Spirit will dictate a lot in this particular kind of meeting. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, Paul gives us a lead in this area. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it that, brethren, when you come together, that's a meeting. So it says, brethren, used for people who are born again. When you come together, every one of you has a sound, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation. 1 Corinthians 14, 26, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. When you come together, how is it then, brethren? Now, the preceding verses give us a lead to what he's talking about. Don't forget, I said a believer's meeting come Holy Ghost meeting. Now, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together, church involves those who are born again, into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in the unlearned, that's the untaught, the uninformed, or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? So, he says, they are come in. So, what if they are not there? So, that means the constituents of these meetings dictate the flow. And they are coming. The only condition, he said, there's nothing wrong with everybody speaking in tongues. He just said, but if they now comes in. You know, so the audience dictates the flow. And there comes in one who is an untaught person, and who is an unbeliever. We're not saying you are mad. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there comes in one that believes not, or one unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all, and falls at the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. So he will come in. So that means there can be a believer's meeting that can flow into an evangelistic meeting to reach the unsaved. That's why we call it a believer stroke Holy Ghost meeting. A believer's stroke Holy Ghost meetings. Every one of you has, in verse 26, obviously does not include the guy that will come in. So the meeting is started by us, but we put in mind the man who does not believe or the man who is not taught. We come with the meeting. So in a Holy Ghost meeting or a believer's meeting, the believers come with the blessings of the meeting. The believers come with a mutually received blessing of the Spirit. Let's see a typical example of when the unbelievers will come in. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, some say all, they all were believers. Eventually, seated in one place in one accord, and there came from heaven the sound of the mighty rushing with Peter, the house where we were seated, and they appeared on their clothes for fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So at that point, that was a believer's meeting. All of them spoke in tongues. all of them were filled with the Spirit. Now the Bible says that there were in Jerusalem at that time Jews, and they mentioned it from every nation under the earth, and those guys came around them. At that material point in time, the believers' meeting now flowed into a Holy Ghost meeting, where in a Holy Ghost meeting there, the emphasis was an evangelistic meeting. Peter now stood up to preach. But it started with a believers' meeting. They were all believers. The unbelieving came in. In Acts 4 also, verse 23 to verse 30 to 31, where they lifted up their voice in one accord. So in a believers' meeting, we are in one accord. In an evangelistic meeting, we are not in one accord because we are not on the same page. Light and darkness. We are taking light to darkness. But in a believers' meeting, we are in one accord. We have the word they. You all have. They all. That's a believers' meeting. It can now lead to an evangelistic flow. That is the Holy Ghost meeting part of the believers' meeting. In Acts 11, for instance, believers were gathered together. Look at it, Acts 11. In those days, I'll start from verse 26. And when they had found him, they brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that his whole year, talking about Saul now, they assembled themselves together with the church in a whole year and taught much people. They assembled together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. There was teaching. In those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And when then disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Look at that. There was an accord about it. That is, we all received the ministry of the Spirit. There was nobody doubting, you know, it was a believers' meeting that led to, you know, the blessings that were taken to Jerusalem, you know, for the poor folks. But don't forget, believers were gathered alone. Not long after that, Acts 13, in the same Antioch. There was something about Antioch, you know, you had Paul and Barnabas. In those days in the body of Christ, they were the most informed teachers. The most informed. In the body of Christ, then, only Paul and Barnabas laid claim to a full revelation of the New Testament. They laid claim to it. Whatever was being taught in Acts 2 and Acts 4, you know, obviously, that if you discover when they said that prophets came from Jerusalem, I'll give you the history. It's not, they didn't come from Jerusalem as prophets. They were the brethren that dispersed in Acts 8 into all the world. But by the time they came to Antioch, by the exposure to the teaching of God's word, they discovered ministry. Just the things that were taught by the apostles in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and Acts 5 were not sufficient enough. They were still tended towards that Old Testament approach of, you know, this clergy, laity, you know, ministry division. But by the point where Paul began to teach much, you discover that Philip was called the evangelist outside Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that later. It was outside Jerusalem. So, obviously, Paul and Barnabas had, in the body of Christ then, they had the greatest insight into the word. And of course, when we look at, you know, a greater depth will be found with Paul. Peter acknowledged it also, and of course, all the apostles as well. So, you will see that in such depth will also come depth of the things of the Spirit. Look at Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahim which had been brought up with Aaron the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherein I have called them." Now, you of course you know that it wasn't on the projector. Amen? The Holy Ghost said, the word the Holy Ghost said there is like the Holy Ghost sayings are. That is, the things that were said by the Holy Ghost pointed to separating Barnabas and Saul for the work of ministry. The Holy Ghost said, "Is he prophecy?" An instruction was given for the work whereunto I have called them, a revelation. Now, where did that happen in the church? Wasn't it about somebody getting saved, getting healed? In believers meeting, what is most prominent is revelation gifts. Revelation gifts and utterance gifts are most prominent in believers meetings. Revelation gifts and utterance gifts are most prominent. You know why power gifts will not be prominent? Power gifts are signs and wonders. They are in the sense realm. Power gifts often are in the sense realm. They have a carnal connotation. Power in the natural forces, in the forces of nature. But when it comes to revelation gifts and prophets and utterance gifts, they are primarily in the spirit. They start and end in the spirit. So, in believers meeting, the Holy Ghost said, that's a believers meeting. In Acts 21, we see three believers meeting held in three different places. Acts 21. Now, if you observe, in believers meetings, everybody, they lifted up their voice in one accord and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, 23 to 31. Acts 2, they all spoke in tongues. In Acts 13, Acts 11 seem to be a bit different. You see Agabus standing up. And I'll tell you again that must have been a product of a flow in the church. Because the next verse, the two chapters after Acts 13, you see that there was nobody that it was pointed to that said. The Holy Ghost said. There was nobody that spoke out. There was no prominent speaker. So the Holy Ghost said there was a summation of the edification that came from the believers by the gift of prophecy. Let me see if that's clear to you. Am I a bit fast? Tell me now. Shall I slow down a bit? Okay. Alright, let me slow down a bit. Now, I said if you observe that in Acts 13, there was nobody that statement was, accounted for. Said it. Nobody was said. This person said, separate of Barabbas and Saul. It was a general prophecy. People prophesied. They spoke by the Spirit. In Acts 4 also, when they prayed, everybody was filled with the Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Everybody was filled with the Spirit. Acts 2, they all spoke in tongues. So in a believers meeting, we all participate. Same in Acts 13. Now look at Acts 21. Verse 4, verse 5. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, and there the ship was to unload our burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said? You will find somebody who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, who are those who said it? The disciples. Do you know their number? No. So that means there was a flow of the Spirit through believers. They were not prophets. I mean, in that sense. Now we go further again in verse 8. The next day, we of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, and they saw one of the seven and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Again, four. There was no, this is one of them said they did prophesy. They were believers. So in a believers meeting, believers participate. There is a flow of the Spirit through believers. Then of course verse 11, and then we saw verse 10, Agabus the prophet. So, in believers' meetings, everybody participates in the flow of the Spirit. The anointing is present, let me use that word loosely, on everyone to be a blessing. The anointing functions on everyone to be a blessing. Unlike in a teaching meeting where the anointing upon is functioning on the teacher, the anointing within with the listeners. In a Holy Ghost meeting, in an evangelistic meeting, the anointing upon is on the evangelist who is preaching now, and then is to bless everybody. They will receive and be born again. In a healing meeting, same thing. In a Holy Ghost meeting, the anointing upon every believer comes into operation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you observe, the Holy Ghost, the believers meeting, is the highest type of meeting. Because a believers meeting can flow into an evangelistic meeting. Now, when a believers meeting flows into an evangelistic meeting, that is the Holy Ghost meeting. It can be a healing meeting. It can flow into a teaching meeting. Amen. Amen. It can flow into a prayer meeting. So it's the highest type of meeting. It's as though, you know, that shows you that the power of God is most present, pardon my use of words, based on the audience. So I feel like I said, in my name. Now, the unbeliever who came in is not in his name. There I am. So that I am in the midst of them is to the degree where people are saved or are taught the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So a believer's meeting is the highest type of meetings that exist today in the church age. Amen. So in a believer's meeting, everybody participates. What did I say? Say that again. Everybody participates. Now, how does that happen? If you observe, just like Paul to the Corinthian church and the Acts 11 example and 13, people are taught. Jesus, before the Acts 2 example, spent time for 40 days to teach people. So people were instructed. Now, how do we conduct a Holy Ghost meeting? Like I asked Pastor Wale when he says some people are giving, they say that giving to the things of the Spirit is not God made, it's man made. Because Paul says, desire the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:31. And one of the things of the Spirit is the meeting. Desire believers' meetings. 1 Corinthians 14:12 and 13. Be zealous about spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So it is within us to have believers' meetings. The Acts 13, those folks came together. So we can come together to have a Holy Ghost meeting. We can come together to have a believer's meeting. The meeting. How do we know it's the will of God? Is it the will of God to be edified? You know, if you go and do evangelism, nobody will say, how do you know it's the will of God? Because they believe the people must be saved. Nobody will ask, we have a prayer meeting on Monday. How do you know it's the will of God to pray? We have regular Sunday services and Wednesday services, Bible study. How do you know it's the will of God to be? It's the will of God that people should be taught now. The will of God. So, how do we know it's the will of God to hold a believer's meeting? It is the will of God that believers be edified. Hallelujah. Are we together? Good. So, how do I conduct a Holy Ghost meeting, a believer's meeting? I learned this from Brother Hagin. It has helped me a good deal. Number one, start with the known. Start with the known. He says it differently, but I'll say it the way I would rather say it. Start with the logical, the well understood. You know, what do I mean? Put the word first place. What is commonly understood is the word. Let information lead to inspiration. Why? we are men of the Spirit. So let information lead to inspiration. Put the word first place. I'm not saying start with a Bible study so that men are already tired. And almost like the Holy Ghost has said bye-bye for that night. I remember a brother like that. I told him wanted to hold Holy Ghost meetings. Well, I told him to hold it anyway. It was like the ignorant. So a few days before the meeting, I asked him, I said, dear brother, what is in your heart to share? Now, personally, when I want to hold the Holy Ghost meeting, I don't go with any prepared texts. Oftentimes, the Lord prepares my heart maybe a couple of minutes before I step up to start the meeting, or maybe a day, or maybe it's a few hours. So I asked him, what's in your heart to preach? He said, angels. I was wondering. Now, I know a little about angels. I still know very little. And I know that is a Bible study. He said, that's what God told you. And he was, trying to do agidi. I just kept quiet, Now, funny enough, frankly, I knew that you can't start a Holy Ghost meeting teaching about angels, except you want to give an inspirational instruction about angels that will come by the level of very light teaching. Because a Holy Ghost meeting is inspirational in nature. So what did I do? I just waited for him. Because it was his meeting, I just kept quiet. He now came back to me, I think a day before, he said, the Holy Ghost is now saying, you talk about miracles. I said, whichever one. Me, I'm here. I'd had several years of experience being part. You see, let me tell you, one of the easiest ways to know how to conduct a Holy Ghost meeting, be in one. Go to be in one meeting. Just be participating with people. Very easily. And it's what you have, you can give. So I just told him. So he said, miracles. Of course, he got there. He had gone to read a book by T.L. Osborne. And he was just trying to teach knowledge and teach and teach. And I knew there was going to be trouble. Because already people were getting tired. And he was teaching and trying to show up knowledge, quoting Greek and Hebrew words, and trying to tell everybody, look, me, I know Bible. And I was there. It was a 2-day meeting. So I was supposed to handle the next day. I knew there would be trouble. Because if people come for these ones and they're not blessed, they won't come the next day. So he said, okay. Oftentimes, the way people, we used to call this, how do you call it now? We call it, that's what we used to call it, me and my friends in those days. He just said, amen, tell everybody, try to lay hands. This is not a Holy Ghost meeting. This is your meeting. This is an evangelistic meeting. Oh, yes, he's over here. So I looked at it. Lord, what can I do? God gave me wisdom. So I asked him, can I say something? I said, yes, sir. I got the mic. The first thing was I laid hands on him. He was out of the meeting. Amen. Jesus took out Jairus' people so that Jairus' daughter can be raised. Amen. So I just ministered by the Holy Ghost. And what did we do? Very simple things. We got people healed. We got people filled with the Holy Ghost. We ministered to the needs of the people. And like Brother Higgin taught us, we left with the door of rejoicing. Hallelujah. So they came the next day. And I just taught them. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Something I've been teaching for years. The Holy Ghost just quickened my heart to talk about it again. And I did. And come and see the great power of God. That was where I knew Pastor Fouquet for the first time. At least, she said she had seen before I hadn't. And I called her by word of knowledge by name. She came with me. I caught something like this name. He just came with the meeting. And that was it. And the whole place, different people, different things. People's needs were met by the Holy Ghost. People prophesied. People gave tongues and interpretation. That was the Holy Ghost meeting. We tried our best. I've been trying to repair, the desert experience the previous day that we had to put water in. So start with the known. Put the word first. Put the word first. And ensure that you teach by inspiration. Put the word first. Secondly, desire the things of the Spirit as you teach. Don't do too much of a Bible study. It is not a Bible study. You are only putting the word first so that there can be a direction to the meeting. Secondly, desire the things of the Spirit. Desire the things of the Spirit. Desire the things of the Spirit. Be zealous about, go after it. 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet. The primary gift of the Spirit that you can covet is tongues. Forbid not to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39, in the Holy Ghost meeting. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. That instruction was for the Holy Ghost meeting. Speak in tongues. I would that you all speak in tongues. That was not in your private life. That was in a meeting. But greater much that you should prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. So, what do? We give room to tongues and interpretation. We give room to tongues and interpretation. We give room to tongues and interpretation. When we do that, what we are doing is that we are handing over the meeting to the Holy Ghost. You see, that first teaching is to tell people, look, we are in church. Then when we desire the things of the Spirit and we go into tongues and interpretation, we are handing over the meeting to the Spirit of God. Like, have your way. Have your way. And because tongues and interpretation is a vehicle, you will find different things come from that stream. So you hand over the meeting to the Spirit by tongues and interpretation. By tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation is like a starting point. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. That was a starting point. Amen. Amen. That's the starting point. Don't forget, I didn't say tongues though. I said tongues and what? Interpretation. Obviously, you are talking about prophecy. It's the starting point. Give room to it. Now, because it's a believer's meeting, do not be careless to be the only person prophesying. When you are the only person prophesying, you are having a ministry gift meeting. You want to show off. You are turning the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. I've discovered something. Now, let me tell you. A Holy Ghost meeting can happen anywhere. 1995. I and my friends, you know, we went to an Orthodox church. You know, we just went there to preach. We had had a series of meetings. We called it, I think we had two meetings. We had one, another Pentecost. Now, in those days, if we call the meeting another Pentecost, you will have another Pentecost. You rest assured. We had the finest hour of the church. I thought. I remember what I preached on was, my friend preached on the adventures in the Spirit. Another one taught on, I think I preached on getting drunk in the Spirit, something like that. Maybe supernatural alcohol, something like that was what I preached on. Something very crazy. You know. So the meetings were very hefty. I mean, very, very hefty. Extremely hefty meetings. The power of God was present. People, you know, blessed lives and all that. So, a man now came and said he wanted to preach in an Orthodox church in their vigil. I know vigils can be long. We're already tired. So we slept off after our own session the night. I said, MOG, the meeting has started. So we just cleaned our faces. Said, let's go. Now, we had had series of Holy Ghost meetings. Amongst ourselves, we had had series. I remember one time, for 2 weeks consecutively, we had believers meeting every night. We just go to in front of Queen's Hall and we'll be there from about 7 till 2 a.m. Just have believers' meetings. From there, we spoke of our ministries. From there, we spoke of this meeting. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. So we got to that meeting. And of course, we gave one of us the microphone to share. He preached and preached. And the whole place looked like Brother Hagin would say, you were preaching with your socks on, washing your feet with your socks on. And it was a vigil. There were still several hours. And they handed over the meeting to us like the generals have come. Me, I was so tired. I remember that day, I just went to take 7 Up at the back. I said, me, I'm tired though. And they said, we have to bless people. I said, hey, you know. But you know something? Except the pastor, nobody spoke in tongues. And it was a large congregation. So we started with that point. And then a lot of people spoke in tongues at the same time. But another interesting thing. We just said, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. Interestingly, we had gifts of the Spirit, you know, in dimensions. We now called them. And then one woman spoke by word of knowledge. Another person interpreted her tongue. You know, it just went like that. And that was their first time out in the things of the Spirit. You know why? Because those who were conducting it were experienced. They were experienced. Amen. Hallelujah. That's one. Now, you know, and you know, several times like that, you know, I've had to go to places where people are not taught, and I'll just teach them. Oftentimes, when I go to a place and I want people to flow with the Holy Ghost, I'll spend the first few days, or one, if I don't have much time, maybe 1 or 2 days, I'll teach them. Now, over time, before I used to feel I needed a 2-week series, because I remember one time, I took 2 weeks to teach people that they were full of the Holy Ghost. But as time went on, and that's something about teaching, let me tell you something. Never stay off teaching. Never. If you stay off teaching, by my experience, for a month, you will lose the skill to teach. The skill to teach must be earned every week at the minimum. The skill to teach, you must be given to teaching. You see, as you are teaching people, not just that they are learning, you are getting better. The more you teach a subject, some people look at me today and, you know, there's no subject I have taught in the last 3 years. I can say 5 years. I can say 6 years. I can say 7 years. Or I can say 8 years. I can even say more than that. That I was studying and I started to teach it. No. I just got better as I was teaching the same thing. And I was teaching the same thing. Never leave teaching. You will just go rusty. Besides the fact that your insight into teaching, something about the desire to teach is that there will be insights. There will be insights. That desire to teach comes with insights in the word. When I'm teaching like this, anybody given to teaching will understand faster than one who doesn't teach. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Good. So over time, I'm able to, in one session, or at most two, let people flow with the Holy Ghost, no matter what the congregation is like. I'm trusting God I can do it in 20 minutes. You know, some of you probably are better than me. Maybe 5 minutes, you are done. I'm a slow learner. Hallelujah. You know, so put the word first place and then desire the things of the Spirit. Start with tongues and interpretation, and not only you. Oftentimes, I have seen people come out to give tongues and interpretation, and they gave us a clearer direction in the meeting. The best Holy Ghost meetings I've had are not the ones where I gave the direction. Others did. Sometimes they didn't know they did. My own role is to conduct, not to flow. Amen? Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. Put the word first. Then desire the things of the Spirit. Number 3. Expect and allow the gifts of the Spirit in different dimensions. Particularly the revelation gifts. Particularly the revelation gifts. Don't be quick to yield to the power gifts. Don't be quick to yield to power gifts except by clear instructions. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration of the Spirit is revelation and utterance gifts. A flashing forth. So, the gifts of the Spirit can be given prominence in preaching and teaching. As you are preaching and sharing, maybe the Holy Ghost puts your attention on the love of God, and you're just going about it. As you are preaching and sharing, give room to the Spirit and power. To the Spirit. Give room to the Spirit and power. Give room to the Spirit. Sometimes in the middle of teaching, you could just burst out in tongues. No, you can't do that in a Bible study. That is, keep quiet and speak to yourself and to your God. Amen. But you're just preaching, and then you just speak out in tongues. You find yourself, you know, if you are particular about sharing knowledge, you won't yield to the Holy Ghost. Your mind must be on the inspiration of the moment. And oftentimes, the tongues will come forth from you, and then you'll find yourself talking about something else besides what you're sharing about. And you say, I talk about another area, just talk about this area, and then you just speak like you're talking to some people in the congregation. I mean, that is yielding yourself to the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Allow the gifts of the Spirit. Now, one important ingredient in believers' meetings is this. Let the matured ones, the ministry gifts known in the church, let them give us a direction. You know, it's not wrong to just say, Pastor so and so, come and bless us. Pastor so and so, say, let the prophets, you know what he meant? Let the prophets, look at this, look at 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 27, if any speak, if. In verse 28, if there be no interpretation, let him keep silent. But in verse 29, it says, let the prophets, that is, allow them. The ministry gives, the mature people in the congregation will give us a clearer direction. They will help everyone. When it was done with the prophecy that you may all prophesy, if you allow the prophets, you may all prophesy. So if you allow the ministry gifts in the congregation, when I say ministry gifts, now understand what I mean. Known people in leadership. Those who, now, I don't believe that every church has what I'm going to say now. Because some folks are just pastors. I remember a church, they say somebody is called honorary pastor. I say, why? So what's an ordinary pastor? Because he puts down money in the church. You understand? So he's got honorary pastor. Remember a church like that also. They have national pastor, international pastor. Not of national, he's in the same field, international pastor, based on his money. Now the person is a relative, so I'm not speaking from the newspapers. Amen. The national pastor. They say national pastor Ayo Anorumi. Amen. Right. The prophets that is standing for the ministry gifts will give a clear direction. Now, you know, we have local prophets, international prophets, local prophets. For instance, in the campus, amen, among your folks, you know your prophets, your own ministry gifts, your MOGs. There are some folks, when they leave their fellowship and come to church, you know, they are now, if any, speak in tongues. But when they go to their first, they become let the prophets. So it depends on where you are. Hallelujah. It really depends on where you are. You know, but wherever you are, allow the Spirit of God. Amen. So really, you know, the ministry gifts give direction. That is why it speaks about revelation, about the ministry gifts. So it can be very disappointing when you have a Holy Ghost meeting. And the pastors are just lifting their hands towards heaven. And they, what are they doing? They are killing the flow. They are expecting the flow rather than giving the flow. Yes. Or you call a pastor and say, come and bless us. And he's just singing. He should speak. Amen. He should speak. Hallelujah. So they give direction to the meeting. So no people amongst you who are there, reliable guys. In that meeting, you know what we did? We just told ourselves. Now, I hope this will not be on tape. If it's on tape, maybe it's a blessing. We just said, what do we do now? It got to a point, you know. Where's another meeting? We got to a point and the thing was dry. So you know what? This one needs signs and wonders. So alright. Say, Shegun, you take word of knowledge. Say, this one, you take word of this one. You take gifts of healing. Me, I will handle prophecy. I'll handle this. And that was how the flow was. It was a massive meeting. I took word of knowledge. I just gave that brrr, like a typewriter. Someone else gave gifts of healing. Brrr, you know, everybody just used differently. And all that. When we were done, the pastor said, because the whole church was bubbling. The pastor called us, said, please, one more thing. You have to share about tithe. These people, see, I've been telling them, when they hear from you, they will give. So my friend just got up and said, you know what? He spoke with the same voice. You must tithe. And they collected a large offering. And we just went our way. If you saw us when we left the meeting, we were just laughing at the kind of word of knowledge God gave us. And we were laughing. And I remember that day we sat on the seat and we were laughing and laughing and laughing. And we just went to sleep off. Amen. So don't finish the Holy Ghost meeting and you're looking blue. So, where are you living from? Just left the Holy Ghost meeting. Where are you going to? I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let the ministry gift give us. Now, what if I have a church with no ministry gift? There's a problem. There must be mature people in the congregation. At least to your own level. Amen. At least to your own level. You know, like I said, it depends on the area. Jerusalem, Antioch, Tyre, Sidon, Galatia. It depends on where you are. The most important thing is be a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So allow the ministry gifts to give direction. In Acts 13, prophets and teachers. In Acts 11, Agabus. Look at Acts 21. Agabus was more clear cut than the three. It was more clear cut than the three. Amen. Also, know this for sure, that joy is an atmosphere of believers' meetings. When believers come together, joy is an atmosphere. Allow that atmosphere. Let there be joy and rejoicing. Let me now say something. You know, for some of us, we can be very illiterate. You know, we have illiterate people. You know, so we can find folks illiterate in the things of the Spirit. You know, you don't have to disturb the hostel because you have a Holy Ghost meeting. You don't have to. Somebody is looking for his exams. I say, you have Holy Ghost meetings. I say, he's the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. You know, you can rejoice without breaking the chair. The chair does not have to break. Remember one time, one brother, he was praying in the Holy Ghost and jumping, and jumping, and jumping. He said, amen. He was just jumping. I was there, I was watching. Now, the pastor was a lady. So as he was jumping, he was moving towards the pulpit. Marble pulpit. She just went from the pastor, she grabbed the guy and threw him back in the congregation. He said, yay. I said, why did you do that? He said, it cost us money to build the pulpit and that guy doesn't give his tithe. I know him. Amen. The Holy Ghost will move him to break the pulpit if he will not buy another one. We know the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, the joy is an atmosphere. Rejoicing is a flow of the Spirit among Christians. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The word rejoice is the word agaleo. Agaleo means to move up and down, to twirl around in reckless abandon, in uncoordinated steps. So in Holy Ghost meetings, things can be uncoordinated in the way people rejoice. No. Some people call it dancing in the Spirit. It's alright. Dancing in the Spirit with no music is just an inspiration from the Spirit. And people, you know, it's almost like a craze, you know, as it were. It's a leap up much for joy, agaleo. Jesus did the same. You know, the Bible says the babe, Luke's gospel, in Elizabeth's womb, as Mary spoke, the babe in her womb, the Bible says, leaped much for joy. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, verse 41. The babe leaped, the word there is agalio, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Leaped in her womb. Acts 16, verse 34. That centurion, that jailer, that keeper of the prison. The Bible says he had brought them into his house. He had set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and with all his house. The word rejoice is an active word. Rejoice, agalio. There was no music. There was not. Paul did not sing for him to rejoice. He just rejoiced in the spirit. Hallelujah. Also, there's reverence. As we rejoice, there's reverence. You know, one day I saw somebody saying he's rejoicing in the spirit, laughing. And I said, Mobero! That's not the Holy Ghost. Maybe he's tied up in the spirit and wound up in his senses. He said, Yepa! In a Holy Ghost meeting. He claimed to be laughing in the spirit. Yepa cannot be something that will edify anybody. Amen. The Bible says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 14, and thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you or the truth. There is reverence in the atmosphere. Also, in the Holy Ghost meeting, we allow for power demonstration. So sometimes the Holy Ghost could prompt you to talk about someone who is sick, who is diseased, and so on and so forth, or a need that's going to be met by the gifts of workings of miracles and the gifts of faith and the gifts of work of healings as well. Sometimes there's raw power in demonstration. In Acts 4, verse 31, it says the place where they were gathered was shaking together. Power of God was strong in the place. In Acts 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. That means there was physical demonstrations of the glory and the power of God. 2 Chronicles 5, the Bible says the glory of God filled the temple and the priests could not stand to minister. They could not even enter in. So sometimes, the power of God will flow in that direction and there will be so much physical demonstration of the power of God. But don't forget, there must be order in the Holy Ghost meeting. That order comes by instructions. There must be somebody who is giving instructions. There must be somebody who is, giving people the floor to speak and to bless lives. I'll close this way. Amen. Hallelujah. What are the benefits of a Holy Ghost meeting? Ready results of a Holy Ghost meeting. Number one, gifts of the Spirit are developed in the church. The more we have, I'll close here now, the more we have Holy Ghost meetings, the more gifts of the Spirit will be developed in the church. More people will seem to know how to cooperate with God more. The more Holy Ghost meetings, the more gifts of the Spirit will be developed. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, every one of you. So when I come into a Holy Ghost meeting, a believer's meeting, I come knowing I have something I can give. Amen. So, gifts of the Spirit are developed. Secondly, ministry gifts are developed. Ministry gifts are developed. People discover their ministries more in Holy Ghost meetings. Acts 13. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. For the work that I have called them. 1 Timothy 1:18. Prophecies have gone before concerning you. Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in you by the putting on of my hands, given to thee by prophecy. Putting on hands of the elders. The elders in a believer's meeting. Ministry gifts are discovered. Hallelujah. In believers' meetings. Finally, or semi-finally, direction is discovered.
people find God's direction, Holy Ghost meeting. The high point of a Holy Ghost meeting actually is direction. And then many more people are filled with the Spirit. Acts 2, we are all filled with the Spirit. Acts 4, 31, they were all filled with the Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's the results that we'll readily see in the Holy Ghost meeting. All filled with the Holy Spirit. So for next week, we'll just have a series of weekly Holy Ghost meetings. Amen? Amen. You know, there are some common sense things we can do. In Acts 13, the Bible says, when they ministered to the Lord and fasted, there are some common sense things you can fast before you come. You can pray in tongues well before you come. Well before you come. And you will have what to give. Because you are already edified. And you will be able to edify others. Hallelujah. I believe that everybody here can conduct a Holy Ghost meeting somewhere. It doesn't take so much. I only attended Holy Ghost meetings for 1 year before I was able to conduct another one. And as I was able to, as I kept practicing it, I was able to conduct Holy Ghost meetings both within and outside Nigeria, around the country, Orthodox churches, non-Orthodox churches. Because if you give yourself to things often, you become skillful at those things. We have too many start and stop. They teach, oh, tomorrow they are gone. They go and face business, or they go to put more attention on something, or on academics. It's good to read your books and pass. But never lack behind in the things of God. Romans 12:11. Do not be slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Stir up the gift that is in you. Those are instructions that guide a man to remain fervent. Hallelujah. You learned something? Have you learned something? Amen. Let's just